Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. We'll read verses 14 through 19 together. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou wert wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy me of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you that you're here and your presence is here, and it's quite obvious. Now, Holy Spirit of God, please use our preacher. Literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room today. So many different needs. Father, we need you to speak through him. Fill us with your powers. We listen, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I will describe to you today three biblical levels of Christianity. This sermon is one that should be taken personally. I don't think we should spend our time trying to figure out where others fit into these levels, but I think we should examine ourselves. So to each person that is a full or part-time staff member, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church or Martinsburg Christian Academy, I recommend to you today that you listen to the sermon and decide where you find yourself in these three levels. To every teenager that's here, teenager, I'd like for you to decide, where do you fit in? To our bus captains, to the children, to the Sunday school teachers, to the board members, to those of you that have been in this church for years, and to those of you that are new in the church, why don't you figure it out? Just you. Don't try to figure out where someone else fits in. Just you. Which level will describe you? And which level describes you in God's opinion? Not in your opinion. So often our opinion of our own selves is a touch too high. How would the best Christian you know describe you? Which level would they put you into? How would the people that know you best, the ones that know you in the dark, describe you? Behind closed doors, those that are closest to you know you best. You ask yourself, what level of Christianity do you practice? There's three that God gives us today. I want you to listen. I call the sermon hot or cold. Both are uncomfortable. Hot or cold, both are uncomfortable. I'll read to you again, verse 15 and 16 from Revelation chapter 3. The Bible says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, God is speaking here to the church of Laodicea. God is saying to a church, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Now, there are your three levels. Hot, cold, or lukewarm. That's how God described it. And this is a church. Now, you understand something. God is saying there are churches, they ought to be hot for God. Then there are some that are just cold. Then there are others that are lukewarm. Now, remember this. Churches are made up of people. The important part of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, not the brick on the outside of this building. We could meet in a tent. We could meet in a log cabin and still have a church. It does not matter the structure of our building. What's important is the people on the inside. So God, if He is saying there is a church, it's either hot or it's cold for God or it's lukewarm for God. He is not describing the building. He's not describing the sign out front. He's not describing the property, the grounds, the parking lot. He's describing what makes up a church. Now, the people. The people. How many of you have ever gone frog gigging? Will you raise your hand? Go frog gigging before. God bless you. Frog gigging. When I was growing up as an older teenage boy, I remember the Maranatha Baptist Church of Winchester, Indiana. That's where I was living, and that's where I was going to church at the time. After church one night, all the men said they're going to have a little men's activity, so they went frog gigging. And all four or five men, everybody jumped in the back of a pickup truck so we didn't have to take a bunch of different cars. And we went out to the Jay County Forest Reserve, had a bunch of big ponds out there. There were about 20 of us that decided to go frog gigging. And we brought our fishing poles and our tackle boxes and everything that we thought we would need. And once we got there, discovered only one man. There were 20. Only one man had a fishing license. And that was a little, I think you ought to have a license if you're going to fish or hunt. I think you ought to do it legally. But that's the way it turned out that night, because I think it was right at the beginning of the season and nobody was really anticipating this thing. And so there's 20 of us out there. There's one man with a fishing license. There are 20 fishing poles. All the fishing poles have they've been cast out into the water, and everybody's fishing. A little later on, we're going to go frog gigging. And so it's dark now. And about that time, coming up this path. Now, we're in the game preserve. We're allowed to be fishing in there. But we're in the game preserve. And all of a sudden, about 30, 40 minutes after we got there, here comes a set of lights down the path where we had driven. And every man panicked. I mean, everybody panicked. We thought, surely it's a game warden, and we are in trouble. So, being real brilliant, every man did the Christian thing. We started running. Everybody started running. And what's really stupid about it is this. Had it been the conservation officer, it didn't really make a lot of sense, because there's 20 fishing poles and one man stood still fishing. And there were three trucks there. So all the other 19 took off running, and you could hear this one guy, Bill Smithson. Bill always thought he knew everything about everything, and he had been out there fishing before. And so Bill says, "Come on, you guys, follow me." And as we're running through the woods, we're trying to follow Bill. He says, "Follow me." He jumped off this cliff, and you could hear him hit the pond below. Everybody's out there at the edge of this cliff just cracking up, and you can hear us laughing. You can hear Bill down there splashing around in the water. And so here comes this truck, and there are 20 fishing poles. There are three trucks and one guy sitting there fishing. You know, I guess he's going to try to explain how he got three trucks out there, 20 fishing poles, and 15 tackle boxes. And so, well, we were pretty stupid about it. Finally, everybody got it together. Bill came up, and he was all crippled up. You know, he was just limping because he'd fallen off that cliff into the water. And then the men said, "Let's go frog gigging." Well, I'd never been frog gigging before, so I didn't know anything about frog gigging. And this is how they described it to me. They said, "Here's what you do. Now, you use a thing that almost looks like a miniature pitchfork. It's got a pole, and it real sharp tongs. They're real sharp, and they got little barbs on them, and you use them to stick the frog." Well, I never been frog gigging before, and Bob Nugent. Now, Bob was probably from West Virginia. He was a country boy, every bit of a country boy. And Bob said, "Jeff, you come with me." Bob used to chew. Now he got saved and he stopped, but he still had a problem getting his tongue and mouth right. So he said, "Jeff, you come with me." He didn't have anything in his mouth. He just put that tongue in there. That's he just kept talking like that for a long time afterward. He said, "Now you go with me." And so we're out there. He said, "I'm going to tell you what you do.
He said, this is the best way for you to learn how to do this, Death. He said, they croak and you poke. He said, that's the easiest way. They croak and you poke. I said, I think I can do that, Bob. I got it. They croak and you poke. And so we went out there, and old Bob, buddy, it was scary because they were croaking near my feet, evidently. And I was jumping back, and I thought, boy, he's going to poke me with that thing. And it was something. If you've never seen a frog and all four legs dangle on the end of a pitchfork, and he lifts them up, and he's like, got me, what? They croak and you poke. Well, we were out frog gigging. And then we caught some frogs alive. So we had some live ones and we had some not so live ones, right? We went down and Bob and Peggy afterward, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, all these guys went down to Bob and Peggy's, and Peggy was there and she had these great big cast iron skillets and she's gonna fry up some frog legs. You're gonna clean them right there fresh and fry them up. And how many of you have ever tasted frog legs before? Put your hand up. They're good. You know what? If you can't figure out what something tastes like, it tastes like chicken. You know, that's what everybody said. What tastes like chicken? You know, you eat a cat, tastes like chicken. Yeah, you eat a possum, that tastes like chicken. That tastes like chicken to me. Eat a rock, it tastes like chicken. You know, so I don't know how to describe it for you. I can't tell you exactly what they taste like. But this is the guy started talking about something that night, and it was very interesting to me. This is what they did. They put a pan of water on the stove, and they said this. They said, "Have you ever seen a frog cooked alive? You ever seen a frog cooked alive?" I said, no. They said, well, let us tell you how you have to do it. They said, if you take ice cold water and you throw a live frog in a pan of ice cold water, he'll jump out. And they didn't like that ice cold part. Said, now, if you take boiling hot water, if you throw a live frog in a pan of boiling hot water, he'll jump out. Said, but if you make the water lukewarm and you'll throw that live frog in that lukewarm water, he just gets to doing a backstroke in there, you know. He just enjoys that. He'll stay right there. They said, and then what you do is you turn the heat up a little at a time. Before long, you can cook him to death in that hot water as he adjusts to the water. Well, I got to thinking about that. Hey, you hear about the man that went into the restaurant? He went in this restaurant, and this waitress came over, and he said, "Do you have frog legs?" She said, "No, I just walk like this since I was a teenager." Well, I got to thinking about this thing of these frogs and how the men said, if you want to cook a frog, you got to throw him in some lukewarm water. You can't put him in the hot water. You can't put him in the cold water. You know, we're the same way. You take, for instance, if you get in the bathtub, if you get in the shower and the water's scalding hot, you want to back out of that. You don't want to be in that. But then the same thing about the cold water. You get in a bathtub and the water's icy cold, you want to step out of there. How do we want it? We want it lukewarm. We want it to be comfortable, and then if we want to turn it up or down, we can do so. Well, lukewarm is what we want. You know, hot, hot water is uncomfortable. Cold, cold water is uncomfortable. Lukewarm water is comfortable. Just like that old frog. Now, I got to reading in the book of Revelation. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 3, listen to the verses. It says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Do you know what God wants us to be as Christians? He either wants you to be a fired up Christian or a cold Christian. But he doesn't want you to be a lukewarm Christian. He wants you in or out, but not a halfway in between. Huh, that's amazing to me. God's talking about a church here. He said, "I would that you were hot for God or cold, whatever you do. Don't be one of those half in, half out, half on, off kind of people." He said, "That's not what I want." God wants us to be a hot Christian. See, Brother Lawrence, you're just, that's just the way you are. You're right. That's the way I am. I believe the church ought to be hot for Jesus Christ. I think the church ought to be hot for Jesus. And God wants your life hot for Him. Ushers, if you'll help me, please. God wants us to be hot for Him. Listen to this. In Psalm 39, verse number 3, the Bible says, David said this. David said, "My heart was hot within me." My heart was hot within me. Everybody look back at me now. Choir, everybody. My heart was hot within me. Do you know what's supposed to be happening? Your heart is supposed to be hot for God. David said, my relationship with God was a hot relationship. And when we talk about hot here, we're talking about intense. We're talking about a deep commitment. We're talking about a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ and with the things of God. And David said, my heart was hot within me. I gotta tell you something, folks. I have to work at it, but I don't want my heart to get cold. I don't want my heart to get lukewarm. If I get my way, if you've been sitting there thinking for the last couple of years, don't worry, He's gonna cool off a little bit. God help me that I don't cool off. I don't want to cool off. I want to stay hot for Jesus Christ. I want to stay hot about the things of God. I want to stay hot about the Word of God. I want to stay hot about the winning of souls, and stay hot about the salvaging of marriages, and stay hot about changing lives, and stay hot about getting little boys and girls in here so we can teach them to have a decent life. I want to stay hot about that. You see, God wants your life hot for Him. Hey, are you on fire for God? Are you on fire for God? Would someone describe you as hot for Jesus Christ? We ought to get on fire for God. You know, being hot is uncomfortable. Being hot is uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable thing. That may be why God, did you know that you will, if you're a hot Christian, there'll be some discomfort? You know why some people don't want to become red-hot Christians? Because they know there'll be some discomfort. You'll have to stand up to some of your friends and say, I'm hot for Jesus. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm hot for Jesus. I'm not going to go there. I'm hot for Jesus. I'm going to change my life. And you don't want the discomfort of becoming a hot Christian. But being hot is uncomfortable. You might find this hard to believe. Did you know, choir, that being a red-hot preacher is uncomfortable? Hey, did you know that to be a red-hot preacher, there are times of discomfort for me? Did you think that God, you know, I was hatched from an egg and I'm this special being? And you say, well, you're different. No, I'm a human being. I wake up in the morning then, I put my pants on one leg at a time. I've got feelings, emotions. I grew up, I went to a public school for the first 12 years of my life. I grew up and I had to learn the Bible for myself. I had to learn how to live for God. And listen, you might think, well, Brother Owens, being a red-hot preacher, that's for you. That's easy for you. You're this, you know, you're special. You're different. I'm just like you. And to be a hot preacher, sometimes it's uncomfortable. I preached in a national conference. 7,000 people were there. I stood up and I preached. I threw a fit about loudmouth women. Bible teaches a woman should be submissive. Bible teaches a woman should not control her home. Bible teaches there's a term called submission, and I don't care what this world says. It's supposed to be like that. I got up, preached on it for about 3 minutes. Brother Tennis, I went back to my office. There's this woman standing there. That old hag tore into me. I can't remember being called so many names with four letters. You know what? She was yelling at me. She was screaming at me. And she said this. She said, I'm not a loudmouth woman, and you shouldn't have said that. I'm thinking, shh. She was yelling at me. You know, you might think, well, Brother Owens, it must be fun to stand up there and thunder the truth. No, sometimes people Nicodemus, I didn't like that. I was preaching the truth of the Word of God. I didn't even have her in mind. Now, God did. And I'm sure her husband was proud of me because I'm the only man that's ever stood up to that woman. Little boy said to his friend in school, he said, "My dad can beat up your dad." The other little boy said, "So what? So can my mom." Hey, being a red hot preacher, it's sometimes uncomfortable. Did you know something? I can put a little barbed wire in the nest of lazy preachers when I travel the country. And I get out there and I get with it and tell them you ought to be getting people saved. You ought to be preaching the truth. You ought to not get up and apologize for the truth of that book. And there's some preachers, they just get a little uneasy about that. It gets a little difficult sometimes being a hot preacher. I was preaching one time in a youth conference. Again, over 7,000 people there. I got up and I preached, and up near Chicago, they have Great America. And a big group of teenagers from a church down in Florida had come to go to that youth conference. But you know what they did? Instead of coming to the preaching, they went to Great America. I didn't know it. They had gone to Great America all morning long and came back in the afternoon to hear me preach. Because I was going to be their camp preacher a month later. And so they came back from Great America early to hear me preach, but they missed all the preaching all morning long while they were at Great America playing when they were supposed to be in the preaching. Now, I didn't know they were at Great America, but I got up in my sermon and I said, we probably have some people that are such weak Christians, they'd rather go to Great America than hear the preaching. There's probably somebody here this morning, you probably went to Great America all May long, and you just popped in to hear old Brother Owens preach this afternoon, didn't you? I didn't know. Hey, the story's not over, baby. There's more to this. I mean, I got up there and I was shucking the corn. I was preaching and snorting and spitting and throwing things, throwing one of my everyday fits, you know, for Jesus. I got all finished. It was done. I never heard anything of it. I flew to Florida a month later to preach for their church. For that youth department, let me tell you what happened. Youth director picked me up at the airport, and he said, Brother Owens, he said, our attendance for our camp this year is down a little bit. He said, the senior class boycotted camp and said, if you're the preacher, they're not coming. He said, so not one senior from our Christian school is coming to camp this year. He said, and I told them they don't pick who preaches camp. I do. And we should have been in the preaching that morning. And we were off at Great America. He said, and I was convicted about it. And it won't happen again. I went in the first night to preach. You talk about it was a tough night. You know what I thought I'd do? I didn't know. I had not targeted them. It just happened to turn out that way. And so I stood up, and there's about 80 or 90 young people, and I try to preach. And so, boy, I was smiling like possum eating honey. I was telling my jokes, and I was turning on my winsome personality, and I was doing everything. And some of them kids just stood there with their arms crossed. And one boy, I was trying to preach, and he had a pencil out fiddling with it. I said, "Put that pencil away." About 12 pencils came out immediately. The very first night, I tried to make them laugh, and they just stared at me, gritting their teeth. At the end of the first night, the youth director came to me and said, "Brother Owens, we got a problem. Our church is brokenhearted about one of the seniors was the pastor's daughter. She ran off with a 40-year-old man when she should have been at camp last night. So we found out about 6 or 7 of our other high school seniors been out living wild and wicked, and we have a mess." Well, I got up the next night, and I preached a sermon on love. Boy, I was loving them deep. I was doing everything I could to try to get something going in that camp. I had kids. I got nasty notes from kids. I got a nasty treatment, just spiteful the way they were acting. That night, when I went back to my room, I had a cabin at the camp. When I went back to my room, I took a chair and I propped it up against the door so they couldn't break in. So, I mean, these kids are nuts. They probably watch late night TV, and I'm going to end up being a specimen for some science project or something somewhere. I had no way. I'm not kidding you. I was scared. I never met a group of kids so hateful in my life. I tried to make them laugh. I tried to have fun with them. I tried everything I could think of. All week long, I preached to them in the morning at chapel, in the evening at chapel, two times a day, two times on Monday, two times on Tuesday, two times on Wednesday, two times on Thursday. I tried again on Friday morning. I was going to preach on Friday night, get on the plane, and go back home. I was ready to go home. I was ready to go home on Tuesday. Well, I preached on Friday morning one last time. I went back to my room and I said, Lord, I do not know what to do. I have been gentle. I have been good to these kids. I have loved them. I have tried to help them. I couldn't make any progress with them. I just flat out couldn't make any progress with them. You want to know something? It gets uncomfortable being an honest preacher sometimes. You know what? Those kids shouldn't have skipped preaching and going to Great America. That was the truth. And they didn't like me for telling the truth. You might think it's easy for you, brother. Oh, what makes it easier for me than for you? Let's see, I was born of a mom and a dad. Were you? I have a heart. Do you? I have feelings. Do you? I'm abiding by the same Bible you're supposed to. Say, yeah, you don't abide by it because you're the preacher. No, that's not true. I was abiding by it when I sat in the pew where you sat. Hey, you know what we're supposed to be? Hot Christians. Hot Christians. It's just as uncomfortable for me when I preach hot messages as it is for you. Guess what? I'm going to live what I preach just like you are. I must live the same thing that you do. You know what? Let me tell you something. It'd be easier if I were a pink lemonade, tea drinking, back scratching, ear tickling, soft soaping, easy going preacher. It'd be so much easier. That'd be easy. Who couldn't do that? All you do is take your big long tail, stick it between your legs. Widen the yellow streak on your back. I love your sin. I love your disobedience. I love your cowardly ways. I love your gossip and your adultery and your stealing from God. I love you all. I love you. And everybody loves somebody sometimes. Hey, there's talent in this body you don't know about. I was going up to, you know, we could have us a Burger King church. Have it your way. You could just pull in and say, preacher, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. That's that sermon. It upsets us. You just make out the order and I'll flip the burger any way you want it. I'm going up to Joppa, Maryland to preach for the very first time. Never been to Joppa before. And the truth is, I couldn't figure out how to pronounce the term Joppa. Pulled into Burger King. And I said, right there in Joppa, I said, how do you pronounce the name of this place? A little girl looked across the counter at me and she said, Burger King. Thanks, lady. You hit me. Can I tell you all something that I've learned after 27 years of preaching? If you're a hot
Christian, it's going to be uncomfortable. That's all there is to it, because this old world's not used to a hot Christian. They're not used to it. They're not used to somebody that's fired up for God. They're not used for somebody that really means it. They're not used to somebody that lives for God Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday they start all over again. They're not used to somebody that believes that book. They're not used to somebody that stands up and says, right is right and wrong is wrong. They're not used to it. And it's going to be uncomfortable, because hot is hot. Hot.
You know, as you try to live the above average Christian life, you're going to have some tough times.
When I started living for God and doing it right, my family turned their nose up. I'm not talking about my wife and my kids. I'm talking about my other family. You have brothers and sisters and maybe moms and dads and aunts and uncles. They'll turn their nose up. They're not used to a hot Christianity. But God Himself said, I would that you were hot.
Hey, personal question. You hot? You hot Christian?
Old friends will mock you. Well, so-called friends.
Would your friends call you a hot Christian on fire for God?
Are you living anything that makes you uncomfortable around your crowd? If you're living hot for God, you're going to be uncomfortable. That old frog jumps out of the hot water because it's uncomfortable there.
Jesus was on the hot seat for you.
Think it was easy being crucified? I guess that was a hot seat, wasn't it? Think it was easy being mocked and teased and spat upon? No way. He's on the hot seat for you. You on the hot seat for Him? Anybody where you work know you're a dedicated, sold-out Christian? You ever have to tell anybody to shut their mouth? You're not going to listen to that filthy joke? You ever have a moment of discomfort because somebody knows what you stand for?
Or do you blend into the woodwork? You're like a chameleon. Whoever you're with, you'll be fine with them. If it's Christians, you can talk Jesus talk for a little while, and then you can go out and talk filthy talk for a little while. Don't matter you. You can just hop back and forth. The Lord said, I want you hot. You a hot Christian? Number two, God does not want your life lukewarm. He would rather it be cold. That's amazing to me, but God said it, I didn't.
God said, I don't want your life lukewarm. I'd rather it be cold. Now, He wants it hot, but if He's got to choose between your life being lukewarm or cold, He said, I'd rather you be cold.
In Matthew 24, verse 12, the Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Cold. You know, if you're cold toward God, you're uncomfortable.
You know, if you're cold toward God right now during this preaching, this makes you uncomfortable. It makes you uncomfortable. A person who is backslidden and admits it as well as knows it is uncomfortable during the preaching. Hey, when I hit on adultery a little bit ago and I threw that out there, if you're backslidden in adultery and you're cold, that pricked your heart. That pricked your heart. A backslidden, cold Christian who has not been in church for a while will come here and squirm while I preach, because you're uncomfortable. That, see, God did not want you to become comfortable to where nothing bothers you. That's why He says, if you're hot, it's going to bother you, because the way you live, people, you're going to be a reproach to some people. And if you're cold, the preaching is going to bother you, and you're going to be uncomfortable by it. A cold Christian feels and recognizes conviction because cold is uncomfortable. Cold hearts and hot preaching causes thunder. Cold hearts and hot preaching causes thunder. Something erupts inside you. You know something? I got more respect for those of you that get mad at me when I preach hard than those of you. You just numb.
Ain't moving me. Heard it before. I'll hear it again. Not changing thing.
Get mad!
Means you're under conviction, see? Means you're under conviction.
That coldness reaches a hot preaching and God begins to do something in your heart.
A cold Christian feels and recognizes that conviction. You're supposed to feel bad about your sin. Did you know that?
You are to feel bad about your sin. We're not supposed to feel good about it.
You know, God can work and mold a cold heart. He can melt your chilly attitude.
Being cold will, by the way, someone that's cold, if you're a born-again Christian and you're away from God and you've got a cold heart, being cold toward God and meeting the devil is going to kick the stuffings out of you while you're away from God. He will. You're going to learn a lot about sowing and reaping and the misery that goes along with it. Cold people, they have to face the results of their coldness. Cold people, you know something? Did you know that a cold person's testimony does not hurt the church as much as a lukewarm person's testimony? I'll tell you why. Even the world knows how a Christian is supposed to live. If you're out living in deep sin and your heart is cold as ice toward God, you know what? Even if you say, well, I go down to Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, even your wicked friends say, well, I can't believe the church believes the way you live. Even the world will cover for the church when you got a cold heart because they know better how you're supposed to live than most Christians do. You ever notice? Living like an animal, born again, but not concerned about the things of God, cold, backslidden, away from God. When you say, well, I go down to the church, the world goes, I'm sure you do. Right. God said, if you're a hot Christian, you're going to be uncomfortable. If you're a cold Christian, there's going to be discomfort because you'll come to church, and if your heart's cold and the preaching is hot, it's going to cause thunder of conviction in your life. So first of all, let me tell you, God wants you to be hot for Him. God does not want your life lukewarm. He'd rather it be cold. Number three, God does not want you lukewarm. That's what God didn't want. He said, hot? Yes. First choice. You would have thought God's second choice would have been lukewarm. It's not. God's second choice is cold. Isn't that weird? But He's God. He can write it any way He wants. You say, well, in my human logic, that's your problem. You depend on your own thinking. God said, I want you hot for me. If not, I'd rather you were cold. Why? Because of all the damage lukewarm Christians cause the cause of Christ. God does not want you to be lukewarm. Revelation 3:16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm people, they're comfortable. They're comfortable. When there is preaching on sin, you should be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Are you hot? Cold or lukewarm? Are you the lukewarm Christian? You don't necessarily live for Him, but not necessarily against Him. You can just hold hands with everybody. Oh, I tell you something. You young people that go to the Christian school, whatever you do, don't get that Christian school comatose way about you. I've heard it before. I'll hear it again. I'm not going to change. Love God? Sure. Love the devil? Oh, that'd be fine. Whatever, you know. Okay. I've been in the church so long. The most dangerous people in this church are not the backslidden ones that are out carousing, drinking, cussing, and stealing. It's the lukewarm ones that are half in, half out. Know just enough about religion that you can attack. Rush. The cold people are not the ones that do the attacking at the church. It's the lukewarm ones that think they know just enough about religion to try to weaken the hotness of the church. They're the dangerous ones. And you say, well, I'll tell you what, some of you lukewarmers look down your nose as somebody's out drinking and carousing. God looks down His nose at the lukewarm ones. God says, the cold ones don't scare me. They're not right with God, and they know it, and the church knows it. God says, the ones that scare me are the ones that are playing religion. Those are the dangerous ones. Those that will hear the preaching and walk out of the building and not do one thing about it. Come back the next week and hear it again and not do one thing about it. Come back the next week and hear it again and not do one thing about it. They go to work and live any way they want. And then they say, we go down to the church and the people in the community say, down there.
Those are the dangerous ones.
You feel no conviction because you've heard it before. You have a way. There are people in this building. I can tell. You shut me off. I mean, just like a remote control. Click. How long did you shut Dr. Smith off? How long ago did you shut it down and say, I'm not moving? I've decided how I'm going to live, and that's how I'm going to live. You'd feel no conviction for very long. It's like water off a duck's back. Some of you used to be on fire for God. Now you're just lukewarm. Not boiling, just lukewarm. What we do is we keep just enough warmth to look good while we're at church. Like a frog, you're in a lukewarm pan of water and the devil's going to cook the life right out of you. One day you're going to wake up and realize what a mess your marriage is really in. While you've been playing the lukewarm game, so is your spouse. Hey, tell me something, ladies. Wonder if your husband is going to be as loyal and dedicated to you as you are to God. Let's play lukewarm for a little while. What to? Let's play lukewarm. Let's make it so that your wife or your husband is going to be as loyal to you as you are to God. So I would never. Probably going to happen anyway. Because while you're playing lukewarm with God, life is lukewarm for you. Your kids are going to figure it all out someday. They're going to choose to either be hot or cold someday. You'll see. You'll see. You can sit through the preaching and it doesn't really bother you. You're thinking right now, okay, as usual, he'll land in the next 9 or 10 minutes, have an invitation, we'll get out of here. You'd get the best of both worlds. Little God, little what else you want to add through your life, doesn't matter. Are you a fence walker with God? Hey, wonder if it were like sexual preference. Get this one. Somebody that's hot for God will be straight. You know, men liking women and women liking men, that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you got your sodomites. Men that like men, women that like women, that's the way it is. Then you got your lukewarmers. Then your bisexuals. Take either one. Where do you fall in? Well, I'm a bi Christian. I'll be intimate with God and then intimate with the world. And some of you are laughing right now. I'm talking to you. Are you listening? How can I get it down to your level where you begin to realize you need to get hot for God or cool off or whatever you do? Stop walking the picket fence. Come on in. The water's fine. You say it'll be uncomfortable if I get hot. Right. It's uncomfortable to be cold, to wake up the next morning and wonder who you killed or if the police are going to arrest you. Yeah, it's uncomfortable there. It's uncomfortable to be hot and have somebody tease you about the way you are for God. But if you're lukewarm, you're living in a very dangerous pan of water because it is the pan of water that makes God sick. It makes God sick. You can come to church and it does not matter how hard I preach. You're still comfortable with your sin. You've already said, but he's not changing me. I'm not trying to. God is. It's not me you're rejecting. It is God that you're rejecting. Well, I just love God. Well, prove it. Are you hot? Would your associates at work say, that is the best Christian I know? Or she is a joke. He is a joke. Just playing the social religion game. Oh, well, Brother Owens, that'd be uncomfortable to stand up and be counted. Correct. Lukewarm. And so, God wants us hot. Or God's second choice is cold. God's last choice is lukewarm. The Bible says, number four, that lukewarm people make God want to vomit. And I am very sorry, but that's gross. But
He said it, not me. God's description here is pretty nasty. He said,
so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Do you know that lukewarm churches make God sick?
Cold churches that don't believe in Jesus, don't believe. Hey, a church that teaches work salvation, anybody with any sense realizes that's a mess. Why else did the Savior come? Cold churches, God said, I can deal with that. They're not making a big dent in my cause. Hot churches, that's what I want. You know what the dangerous churches are? The fence walkers. The fence walkers. The halfway in-betweeners. Got a little truth and mix it with a little of the modern day way of doing things. You listen to me. You're not going to see a sign out front here that says we have a traditional service at 9 and a contemporary at 10. We'll stay traditional. I'm not going to pop back and forth. I am what I am. We are where we are. That's not going to change. The dangerous ones, though, you see. Say, well, let's try to reach some of everybody here. Let's bring them all in. Let's dance with the devil. That's the dangerous ones. They confuse people. God said to the church, get hot. Forget cold. But whatever you do, church, don't you piddle in that middle territory. Don't you piddle. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I took the young people, our teenagers, had gone soul winning, won over 120 people to Jesus Christ in one day. That's hot. Christian schools stay hot if they'll stay after getting people out of hell and the kids to keep their eyes off themselves. Teenagers, you ought to live right to keep your life pure so God can use you. We took them to Hershey Park for a day. They came off of this one ride. I can't remember the name of it. So they were getting ready to get on a ride, and somebody was coming off the ride, and I think it was a roller coaster. And they've got some roller coasters that turn you upside down, flip you, and it mixes up whatever you ate for breakfast real good. You become a human blender. Mrs. Owens is watching that. She's going, honey, I got to sit down. She wasn't even on the ride. I got to sit down. I'm going to get sick. Now, you know how teenagers are. Why, a couple teenagers come running over and say, is there a ride there called the Bear? Young people, the Bear. A bunch of our teenagers come running over and said, Brother Owen, this guy, he just threw up his guts. It was great. He had it all over him. You can tell what he had for breakfast and lunch last week. You can still tell. He said it had it all over him. And then they had that, you know, that orange sawdust stuff. You know, I think they call it vomit vanquish. They're spreading that stuff all over the place. Oh. Do you know what God says? If you're not hot for Him or cold and you're a lukewarmer, how would you like to be the one that goes down in history for being the one that caused God to toss His cookies? That's what the Bible says. Those kind of churches make God sick at His stomach. Spewing them out of His mouth. And you know, God has a pretty strong stomach. And He says, spew you out of my mouth. Now, let's see. We use the term regurgitate or vomit or whatever you want to call it. But do you know who the vomit is? That's the lukewarm Christian. He said, I spew you, not your ways, you. Do you know that if you heat food properly, you get it hot enough, it'll kill the germs, it won't make you sick. If food is refrigerated properly, it'll kill the germs, won't make you sick. You let that food stay out and become room temperature long enough, and you eat it. That makes you vomit. Lukewarm causes the vomit. You know what happens? There, I wonder, the body, when the body gets poison in it, do you know what happens sometimes? The body vomits out the nasty stuff, and then the body's healthier. That's how God cleans up the body. You put something nasty or poison in there, God says, we'll spew that out of the body. Get rid of the impurities. I hope that there is not one person that ever leaves this church. I want every single person that's in this church to stay in this church. You'll be given a chance to grow. You'll be taught the Bible. But to all of you that stick around for long, I'm going to promise you, somebody's going to come along someday. They're going to be a lukewarm Christian. They won't be hot for God. And what's going to happen is the body will be relieved of poison. I don't want anybody to leave my church, but I have seen more than one time when God spared a church by spewing a lukewarm, critical, nasty, backstabbing person. They left the church. I won't drive them out. I won't run them out. But I'll tell you this, if the preaching preaches them out, if the truth makes them sick, then it may be that if somebody leaves the church, it may be God cleansing the body of the impurities of the lukewarm vomit. Some of you probably need to get right with God, and nobody knows it. You're lukewarm. Hot people for Jesus are disliked, but respected. Cold people for Jesus, they're not really associating with the church. They rarely, therefore, hurt the church very badly, because even the world knows how they're supposed to live. But lukewarm people, they disappoint both the world and the church. Lukewarm people disappoint both the world and the church. Because your friends say, well, I thought she was a Christian, but she's not. So you've got them mixed up out in the world. The church looks at it and says, what are they doing? What are they doing? Why do they live that way? Can I tell you all something about me? I'm not glad of this. This way it is. You either like me or you don't. That's pretty well the way it is. You either like me or you don't. Because I'm very straightforward. What I am is what I am, and I'm not ashamed of it. You'll either like what I stand for or you'll dislike it. Now, if it is my personality, well, I need to fix that. If it's what I stand for, I'm not changing. It's not me you dislike then. It is God. But here's what some of you say. You know, I really kind of like him, his humor and everything. I like that about him. You're liking the wrong part. You're supposed to love the truth that I preach. You know, you'd be all right if you didn't preach like that. That part's not changing. You know, you get up there, you can even make us laugh while you're making us mad. I kind of like your personality. I mean, your delivery is something. I mean, the way you handle yourself, and boy, you hit us and then you pat us on the belly and you make us like it. We really like that. You're not supposed to like that part. You're supposed to like the truth of the preaching of the Word of God. What you like is my personality when you ought to love God and love the truth and the preaching of the Word of God. That's some of you said, I say, you know, I really kind of like him. But it's what he says. What I say is the truth. That's the part you're supposed to love. I was preaching at that camp. Tried that morning. Remember Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night. I loved them. I made them laugh. I tried everything under the sun to try to win those young people so I could help them. The whole crop of seniors that the pastor had said, if I could kick them out of my Christian school, I would kick out the whole senior class after what we found out about them this week. You see, what they didn't like about Brother Owens was the truth that he preached. One Brother Owens, he was just a delivery boy. And so that afternoon, I went to my room after Friday morning. I was going to preach Friday night. I was going to get on an airplane Saturday morning and fly back to Chicago. that Friday night, I said, all right. All afternoon I prayed. I stayed on my knees and I prayed and I said, okay, Lord, I've been nice. I've been kind. I've done everything I can. I preached, I think, 9 different sermons to try to win them. They're not listening, and I've had it. Lord, if this is my last time ever coming here, I'm going to unload a whole dump truck load on them while I'm here. I'm going to tell them exactly what I think of their attitude toward preaching and the Word of God and the truth. I stood up that night, and I'm telling you, you could hear a pin drop. I started at about 80 miles an hour. I preached on sin and rebellion and hatefulness. I preached on it all. I said, don't you ever treat a preacher again the way you treated me this week. And it's not about Jeff Owens. It's about the disrespect that you've shown toward the preaching and the Word of God and the things of God. And I said, no, what some of you need to do is you need to get saved, because I think a bunch of you are lost, and there are a whole bunch of you. You're rebels. You're practicing the sin of witchcraft and your rebellion against the authority. We found out that your seniors have been out drinking, cussing, and doing their own thing. That's wickedness out of hell. And I'm telling you, you better get right with God. I do not remember taking one breath of air for 45 minutes. I'm talking about eyeballs as big as cantaloupes. Them kids were sitting there and said, who let him out of his cage? I didn't have anything to lose. I was going home anyway. Let me tell you how I gave the invitation. It was as quiet as it could get in there. And I said this. Now let me tell you what needs to happen. I'm done preaching. Pianist, come and sit down at that box and start playing something. And I'll tell you what we need. We need somebody in this youth department that's got enough guts and God inside them to come up here and confess your sin and get right with God. Maybe we have one boy that feels like you have the courage to stand up for right. I said, I'm going to my room. Started to walk out. I watched the boy stand up. I had my back. I was leaving. He started to come down the aisle. He came up and grabbed my shirt as I was walking out. He said, Brother Owens, what do you want me to do? I went back over to the pulpit. I said, there's one. They started popping up everywhere. I watched the entire congregation of young people come forward, get on their face, and get right with God. What fixed it? Some old-fashioned red-hot preaching. They told the truth for the purpose of helping the people. Could have killed the youth director. He took me to the airport the next day. I was getting ready to get on my plane. This is back when they could walk you through the gate. He said, Brother Owens, he says, here's your love offering. He said, I'm sorry what I did to you. He said, we've been having problems in our church with these young people for over a year. He said, you're a hired gun. We knew if anybody could get their attention, you would. I thought, you jerk. You jerk! You put me through all that! You could have told me what I was getting into! And then he said, Preacher, I was going down the gateway. He said, Preacher, don't ever stop what you do. We knew you could get a hold of a rebellious generation. We brought you here to help us do it. Same group came to youth conference the next year, came to all the services, and I'm one of their favorite preachers. Hot, cold, or lukewarm? Which are you? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hey, let me tell you about heaven. Heaven is going to be a pure positive. Hell is going to be a pure negative. And there is no halfway in between. If somebody taught you about purgatory, it's a lie. You either in or out. You either saved or you're lost. If you die today and you're not sure you go to heaven, you need to get born again. You need to get born again. Let me tell you what's going to happen. In a moment, I'll point to the pianist and she'll begin to play. We'll all stand to our feet. After we stand to our feet, if you're not saved, you ought to leave your seat, walk down the aisle, come down here and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The men on this platform will take their places at the end of the aisle. If you're not saved, you come. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. If you're looking for an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church, believe me, we're not lukewarm. As long as I am your pastor, you have to get used to it. It's going to stay hot. We're going to stay hot for the things of God. And I'm not talking about a rudeness now. I will love you 9 out of 10 sermons, but every once in a while I'm going to get up. I'm going to make it very clear we're going to stand for the truth. And if you like my personality but you don't like my preaching, you got it all backwards. Because you need to love the truth more than the person preaching it. Maybe you just need to use this altar. Maybe some of you need to come and pray, say, God, help me. I've got something hot going on in my life. Help me never to become lukewarm. Answer the question, are you hot? Are you lukewarm? Which one is it? If you're cold today, the preaching made you uncomfortable. I know that. If you're hot today, the preaching makes me uncomfortable. If you're lukewarm, you just sit there again, sit through another invitation. When's the last time you used the altar? You don't need it, do you? Lukewarmer. The pianist will begin to play. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The altar is open. If you want to use it, you can use it.